us here with some fresh nightshade for you to play pranks on your staff with. There is a prank going on right now in the studio, and no one knows what it is but me and my special needs guest. But also, more importantly, today is our producer Drew's birthday. Happy birthday, Drew!
Yay!
Yay! Birthday, special needs guest, that. Special needs producer. How old are you today, Drew?
Today I am 31 years old.
That is, the Baskin Robbins year. That is wonderful. Now,
and I'm a whole lot of flavors, too.
Yeah, we saw the Arduous March. all those flavors that you chose to be salty.
Wasn't my finest moment, but that's okay.
Oh, I disagree. That's not the consensus.
You've only known me for a little bit of time.
Oh, so I think I have enough data to make that conclusion. Now, the question is, you weren't supposed to come in today, but you came in anyway. What happened?
John, who was supposed to cover for me, had an emergency at home.
Oh.
No big deal. I kind of asked him last minute. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Good. No big deal. It's not a bad emergency, just some stuff he had to tend to.
What's that not a bad emergency mean?
Like,
you won the lottery.
Basically, he's got his pets at home that haven't been out or fed in
okay,
a while.
Okay, got
so
it.
That's
okay.
Totally understandable. Support the dogs.
I am a dog person, as you know, and all kinds of animals I like. If you're going to ask me my favorite breed of dog, probably haven't heard of it. It's the Valhund. That's a Valhund. Goggle it. It's the Viking version of the Corgi. Our first story today, Theresa May. She's done. She's, according to cabinet ministers speaking on background, this is from The Sun, the British newspaper The Sun, Theresa May is preparing to resign this summer in order to have influence over who is going to take her place as British Prime Minister. Under this plan, she would call time on her premiership shortly after finally delivering Brexit. That's amazing. That basically, that would mean that the entirety of her being Prime Minister would mean two things. One is delivering on Brexit, something she was against from the beginning, and two, calling an early election and blowing it. Like, that's it. That was her list. Man, she's a real-life Veep. Not even kidding. She'll then set out a timetable for a new leadership contest to end at the party's conference in October. At least two figures in the cabinet have come to that conclusion and have that she's because of hints that she has personally told them. She could be lying. She could change her mind. Her reasoning goes as follows. By going at a time of her choosing and in a position of relative strength after delivering an achievement and, you know, riding that tide, she will have some say over who the next Tory leader will be. It'll be seen as a plan to block Boris Johnson, her rival who is to her right, former mayor of London, because he wants a significantly different future trade deal with the EU with fewer links to Brussels, Belgium. Now, the International Trade Secretary, Liam Fox, who's a confidant of hers, is one of the senior minister that she's giving the hints to, which means she's given him permission to say this on the record, which also means she could be playing gamesmanship. But on the hand, this woman ain't too bright. A senior Tory source said Liam is convinced she'll go this summer. He says everything she's told him suggests that she's determined to ensure the right person follows her and she'll have no say at all if it gets to the stage of forcing her out. I mean, the knives have been out for her for months, as I've been covering on the show. It's not news to you guys. Business Secretary Greg Clark also told friends he expects her to stand down this year. His allies point out another big sign that she has little interest in creating a post-Brexit domestic agenda since the failed is that she hasn't had any interest in creating a post-Brexit domestic agenda for the next 2 years since there was a failed coup to oust her back in December, which I covered here. She was forced to announce back then, just 3 months ago, less than 3 months ago, that she will not be the Tory leader come the next general election in 2022, which means she must pave the way for a successor to be there by 2021 at the latest. Oh, shit. I thought that was a can of soda, but it wasn't. Another close ally of hers insists she's given no private indication at all that she and when she intends to go. The senior number 10 source, that's number 10 Downing Street, where the Prime Minister lives, says the only person who will know Theresa's real thinking while she'll step down is her husband, Philip, and she won't share with anybody else, not us or any other cabinet minister. I don't buy that. It's one thing to say she doesn't know. It's another thing to be like, all right, I'm putting plans into place. And frankly, if you've already announced you're not going to run again, you have to have plans in place at some point. You want to go out on a high note, not you know, went kicked out in your ass like Thatcher was in 1990. An autumn departure would mean a growing groundswell of opinion among Tory MPs across the different factions of the party. And one Tory MP said yesterday, everyone wants her to get Brexit over the line, which will be a substantial legacy, but then that'll be it. There's a big feeling now that she has run out of road. All her capital is burnt, both here and in Brussels, and someone else needs to pick up the reins from there with a new mandate. So that is interesting stuff. We'll be covering that on the show as her descent into failure and oblivion proceeds. Next story. As you guys know, not that long ago, was it 2 weekends ago, me and the crew went to Philly. We had a great time. I enjoy Philly. I think it's kind of a New York away from New York in many ways. Not as good as Toronto, though. But the problem with socialists, by which I mean all politicians, is that they hate innovation and they hate people making voluntary choices without getting themselves insinuating in between the two and making a burden on themselves. The Wall Street Journal's reporting, Philly is the first major U.S. cities to ban cashless stores. This is part of a big debate about retail innovation against lawmakers trying to protect all citizens' access to the marketplace. That's right. If something isn't for everyone, it can't be for anyone. That's the leftist mentality. It's inclusionism. Starting in July, my birthday, Philly's new law will require virtually all of their retail stores to accept cash. A New York City councilman is pushing similar legislation here, and New Jersey's legislature recently passed a bill banning cashless stores statewide. God forbid you have a store that's, you know, the problem with stores using cash that this article doesn't cover is that it's really easy, or much easier, for that cashier to steal things. Put it in your pocket. Oh, oops, I did the wrong math. It's also, so here's something that I did not that long, well, very long ago, something called sweethearting. What you do is you take, if you have someone, by far the biggest way to steal from stores is someone on the inside. You bring up a lot of stuff that's valuable. The cashier rings up something that's a dollar. You walk out with everything. Or another thing that they do is, I've had this happen in the Manhattan Mall when they had a food court. You go up, the cashier fakes the transaction. That you give them the cash, they put the cash in their pocket. With a cashless store, neither of these things can happen. Well, I guess the first one could still happen. Well, halfway there. So a spokesperson for New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy declined to comment on whether he would sign it. Massachusetts is the only state that requires retailers to accept cash. Now, these measures are trying to blunt a trend that could accelerate because of Amazon's power. They represent an attempt to strike a balance between equity for lower income consumers and merchants' eagerness to embrace technological advances. Businesses that have gone cashless point to greater efficiency for employees who won't have to make change or count cash at closing time, or won't, you know, because a lot of them don't know how to handle it. If I've said this many times, if you go to cashier and the total is $6 and you give them 11, meaning they'll give you back $5, they will stare at it blankly or they will panic and release their squid ink. You don't have to think. Put in 11, the machine, who is better than you in every way, will tell you to give back $5. But even that is too much for you. It's too much for you to even ask the machine, what do I do with this 11? Or they'll hand you the dollar back like it's a mistake. This also means improved safety because workers don't have to carry large bank deposits. You can't rob a store where there's no money. No physical money. Backers of the measures forcing stores to accept cash say they worry about people who don't have credit or debit cards. They also say some customers prefer to pay with currency for privacy reasons. Yeah, drug dealers. Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta said starting this Sunday, 3 days, it'll be the first. What does that say? I gave cashier my number. I watched him impact the wrong digit. Yes! Holy shit, is that a coincidence?
Very coincidental, yes.
See? The machines are smarter than the cashiers. Mercedes-Benz Stadium Atlanta said starting Sunday, it will be the first NFL stadium to go cashless. They'll require fans to use plastic or make mobile payments to speed up transactions. Officials also cite safety benefits and say it'll make it easier to lower food prices. If you want to use cash or don't have a credit card or debit card, don't want to use one, there will be 10 kiosks around the area that will convert cash to a prepaid debit card with no transaction fee. It's like itchy and scratchy money, you know? It's just like regular money, but, you know, fun. Philadelphia City Councilman William Greenlee, who's a Democrat, said he was inspired to introduce the bill after noticing some sandwich shops had gone cashless. Oh, my God. I like how he comes across technology, and instead of being like, holy shit, this store, no one uses cash. It's all by computers. And his inspiration's like, I got to put a stop to this shit. And not just here, throughout the whole city.
I wonder if people are like writing letters to their congressman, like, oh, I have nowhere to shop.
Because... Well, they're sure not fucking sending emails, because that's, oh, I don't know. What does this thing do? Is it like to fix my teeth? Jesus fucking Christ. He says, most of the people who don't have credit tend to be lower income, minority, immigrants. It just seems to me, if not intentional, at least a form of discrimination. It is discrimination. You're discriminating between physical money and electronic money. Just like price discriminates between, well, I guess that's not a sick burn, between things that you can't afford and things that you can afford. He said stores will be required to do what businesses have been doing since Ben Franklin was walking the streets of Philadelphia. Owning slaves? The fuck's he talking about? Philadelphia's Mayor Jim Kenney signed the bill into law last week. His spokesman notes that 26% of city residents live below the poverty line and most don't have a bank account. Here's the thing, assholes. If my store won't accept cash and there's people who only pay in cash, I'm the one who's hurt, theoretically, because I can't do business with them. That's cost is something that I have to be willing to bear. Is this not complicated? He said cash can be loaded onto prepaid debit cards, but those come with various fees. Fine. Then have the city give up. Fucking EBT is on card now. EBT is a debit card. You don't have those checks anymore or that fake cash. It's a card. It works just like a regular card at the supermarket. In fact, one time I was at the supermarket and the girl asked me if this was food stamps. And I did not go to her funeral, but I knew about it. Wonder what happened to her. That's a shame. Let's just say it was handled with an express line across the throat. Sylvia Howard, who's a top official in the city's Commerce Department, told city council members last month she hoped the ban is temporary because modernization is going to happen with or without Philadelphia, and we want to be part of it. Before the city council passed the legislation, Amazon expressed concern about the impact on its ability to open cashierless Amazon Go convenience stores. The company says on its website that it has Go stores in San Francisco, Chicago, and Seattle. Customers who have Amazon accounts swipe their smartphones as they enter the store and are automatically charged for any items they take. An Amazon spokesperson declined to comment on this story. The law does have a provision meant to accommodate Amazon Go. It exempts, quote, transactions at retail stores selling consumer goods exclusively through a membership model that requires payment by means of an affiliated mobile device application. But Amazon says this doesn't apply to their stores because while payment would be made via an app, you don't have to be Amazon Prime to shop there. This is from a Commerce Department spokeswoman. And the National Retail Federation, which represents the retail industry, spoiler alert, opposes the law because it says businesses should be able to choose what payment methods to accept. I think it's Sweden that has no cash, or like one of those countries. They're all on credit. And I'm someone who I'm very crazy with budgeting. I take out X amount of dollars every week, and I stick to what's money's in my wallet. I'm very pro-cash. And if I can't use the cash, that's my problem. Okay, there you go. And the reason businesses prefer cash payments, they avoid credit card transaction fees. So this is Philly really blowing it really badly. We have an update also on the presidential campaign. Don't you hate it when you go to drink like a soda and it's actually water because you got the mug wrong? And then it's like, well, what is this poison?
Or when you go to eat a Skittle and it's actually an M&M?
Yeah. Fun fact, two things I remember from Ronald Reagan's autobiography. One is he could never eat tomatoes because as a kid, he bit into one thinking it was an apple. He was traumatized for life, understandably. And two, he has this trick, which you should all know. This is how to remember people's names. You're governor. You're head of the Screen Actors Guild. You're an actor, movie star, president. You meet a lot of people. They all remember your name. You don't remember their name, especially when you have Alzheimer's. So here's his trick. He would meet people and shake their hand. And they're like, hey, Governor Reagan. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I've forgotten your name. Oh, it's Jeff. No, Jeff. I remembered your first name. I just forgot your last name. Then they feel stupid. There you go. Take that to the bank. All right. So here are the updates from the presidential campaign. Senator Sherrod Brown from Democratic Senator of Ohio said today he is not entering the race to challenge President Trump in 2020. He said, as you've heard me say many times, when you love this country, you fight for the people who make it work. He goes, I fight best when I bring joy to the battle. And I find that joy fighting for Ohio in the Senate. So that's where I can be most effective. But Joe Biden, it looks like he's a go. He's in the final stages preparing for a 2020 campaign, and it's going to launch next month. And this is according to multiple people familiar with his planning. A formal kickoff is expected by mid-April and would all but cement the size and scope of the Democratic presidential field that currently stands at 12 formally declared candidates, two still in the formal exploratory stage, and others still making a bid but waiting to see what the former vice president might do. 12, you know, it was interesting because in 2016, there were like 18 Republicans. Despite Trump's being very weak in many ways and certainly defeatable, he did get fewer votes last time, and that does correlate pretty well with winning the presidency. And correlate does not mean equate, people. This is a much weaker field than I thought. You've only got some really heavy hitters in the broadest sense of what it would be. Kamala Harris, because she'd have the press behind her at the very least. Not that they all wouldn't. Warren, Sanders, and Biden, I think, would easily be the top tier. I don't see who else would be in that top tier. So out of those four, Sanders, you know, at the very least has the ability to create a movement. But I think he also has a lot of weak spots. I don't think he'd be able to raise that much money because corporate America might be, in some sense, scared of him. So Biden is beating Trump in some polls by double digits. And people are like, oh, he's not electable. Listen, it's 2 years out, but if you've got a two-digit lead over a sitting president, it's not nothing. And Warren I think he would eat her for lunch, but we'll see what happens. Biden sits atop various surveys of Democrats nationally and is in the key early primary states, is seen by supporters as one of the candidates best equipped to unite factions that are squabbling under the ideological future of the party and where and when it should target in a bid to retake the White House. The thing is, he's 76. CBS thinks he's likely to expect support in suburban swing districts and in Midwestern states, but faces doubts about whether he can win over minority younger voters that are fueling much of the party's current energy and success. Okay, that's a fair point. So that'll be interesting to watch. He would do well in Iowa. You know what's going to happen. There's going to be one debate where someone, one of those Democrats, is going to say, why hasn't President Obama endorsed you? And they said about Hillary, and she had a very good answer. She goes, well, he chose me to be the Secretary of State, his top diplomat, so clearly he respects my judgment to some extent. That was a very solid answer. For Biden, though, it's going to be like, yeah, he chose me to be his vice president in case he died. It's like, dude, you were like 70. So that wasn't really a concern of Obama dying. So I don't know what he's going to say to that, but it's going to be a very, very fair question to have asked of him. And I wonder who would be the one, probably maybe Klobuchar, because she's mean, which might make her my candidate. And I don't know how many of these are going to make the debates. If no one can get their campaign started, a lot of them are going to drop out before the debates even start. Okay, so things have really been hitting the fan in the House today, thanks to Ilhan Omar. The Democrats were going to have a statement, the House vote in a statement condemning anti-Semitism, and it completely reversed on that, and it's really, really funny. So we got one video. Let's watch this one. This is, who was the first one? The second one's Pelosi, right?
Second one's Pelosi. First one starts out with two women, one older, one in blue. Here, let's check the look.
Let's check it out. So wait, pause it. No, pause it. I know what this is. So this congresswoman on the right, she is Jewish. And the thing is, they have to start making excuse for Ilhan Omar. So remember after Charlottesville and President Trump said there's bad people on both sides, I was like, oh my God, you're for the Nazis. How do you not condemn white supremacism? And I think it was Stephen Miller who tweeted out today. He goes, how quickly we've gone from it's okay to punch Nazis to, no, it wasn't Stephen Miller. He retweeted. I forget who tweeted this. How quickly we've gone from it's okay to punch Nazis to our Nazis aren't that bad. So they are running interference for her badly and hilariously. And this is a fellow tribeswoman. Let's hear what she had to say.
Caucus meeting yesterday, you stood up and at one point pleaded with your colleagues, everybody stop tweeting. Do you think that what's been going on as it relates to this resolution is creating problems inside the party and is a distraction from what you want to legislatively?
You know, I'm going to answer all of your questions about this, but I certainly wish that the media
would start. Anytime a politician says, I'm going to answer all your questions, but you really think they're going to answer all your questions? Come on. It's like when parents come home, there's diarrhea on the floor, beer bottles, underwear on the ceiling fan, the car gone. Who's this guy? We don't have a dog, but we do have a cat now. Mom, Dad, I'll answer all your questions. But the most important thing is I'm okay. Yeah, that's not the most important thing, I assure you. I'm going to answer all your questions, but the media, is it that you mean the Jew media? Is that what you mean? Okay, let's play this.
To also really cover as a big deal the fact that the House, for the first time in 25 years, passed two gun safety legislation for background checks. So tomorrow.
Pause it. Congresswoman, there's a lot of drama about these anti-Semitism, alleged anti-Semitism, Israel criticism. You know, having a statement just says anti-Semitism is bad. Yeah, but what about the gun control we passed that's not going to get through the Senate? How come you're not asking me about that? Checkmate. Jesus fucking Christ. This is not a high verbal IQ lady.
We have one of the biggest bills to make sure that we have fair elections.
That's a bill on voting and ethics reform, right?
Oh, my God. What do you think about her claims that all the politicians in Washington are bought by Israeli Jew money? Well, we're going to have fair elections. Right, but don't you think this plays onto, like, the worst of the anti-Semitic tropes that, you know, the government is really controlled secretly by Israel? Gun safety. How come you're not asking about gun safety? That's not going to go anywhere, huh? That's what I want to talk about. I'll answer all your questions. Oh, what? They're calling me. Oh, excuse me. It's Shabbos. I got to run.
It sounds like every politician conversation interview ever.
No, usually they're quick. And they're better than this. It's not this much of a transparent bait and switch.
So
go ahead.
Like, I'm going to ask these questions.
I'll play the clip. Right. Birthday boy.
It's related to the issues that are going on right now.
I think it's because the press, included Hallie, I'm sorry, also likes to exploit these kinds of maybe heightened, more sexy kinds of battles.
You know what's sexy? The Holocaust.
To exploit these kinds of maybe.
All those naked people just standing around, you know they haven't gotten laid. They're freshly showered, some of them.
None of them are fat.
None of them are fat. Got those high cheekbones. Maybe they're, you never know. But is there anything sexier than talking about the Jews? You know, whenever I think of the Jews running media, I just get the hugest boner, and that's how I remember I'm Jewish. I see my missing foreskin. It's my covenant with God. Go ahead.
More sexy kinds of battles, and it is not a battle. I want to tell you that.
Stop. My battle. With Congresswoman, would you say this fight with Ilhan Omar is, in German, your battle? It's sexy. It's sexy when a woman in a headscarf is telling you that you're soulless and bought by APAC money. Sexy. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Holy shit. There's no. Okay, look at that face. That is the face of sex. That's right, baby. All right. Let's play some. Go back. I want to hear this again. Again.
Six million times. And it is not a battle. I want to tell you that. I did say stop tweeting in the battles. Likes to exploit these kinds of maybe heightened, more sexy kinds of battles. And it is not a battle. I want to tell you that. I did say stop tweeting in that caucus yesterday because I think that this is not a conversation that we ought to have on social media and in the public.
If you want to know. We need to talk about how the Jews run everything, not on social media, but in secret, in our Jew rooms, where women and men sit separately and aren't allowed to talk to each other. We shouldn't talk about it on social media publicly. We should have a cabal where we all get together and plot on what the message should be. We could ask our elders what the protocols we should follow. Go ahead. Good Lord, I love this lady.
The majority of us, our vast majority, are going to be voting for...
Vast majority. Would you say maybe 2% think differently? And that those 2% don't really matter? Is that what you're thinking? Is that your struggle? Look at that face. Look at that punim. Good Lord. Okay. Oh, God, I love this woman.
A resolution that I hope puts this to bed that says, yes, as a Jew, anti-Semitism is a huge deal.
Pause it. You know what? I like it how, as a Jew, anti-Semitism is a huge deal. For everybody else, I don't expect you to give a shit. Oh, as a Jew, it's a huge deal. Fuck. Now watch here. You guys, you're not going to be able to handle this. Watch her make excuses for why this woman from Somalia doesn't really like them Jews so much. Let's hear this.
Anti-Semitic acts are up 50% over last year. But Islamophobia is also a huge problem. And I want to tell you that Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman, is under tremendous attack, death
threats. She's the victim here.
I think maybe she needs some...
Pause it. You know what the biggest death threat is? Kristallnacht. Remember that? Holy shit. She's under death threats, unlike, you know, literally everyone in Congress. Fuck. Unlike, you know, Jews. Go ahead.
Security. And why? Because I think in part the Republicans and the media have blown this up to be much more than it is. We do have to deal with the kind of diversity in our caucus.
Watch this.
But I want to tell you, Ilhan talked to me personally. Not only did she apologize for the words that she has used, but she apologized personally to me as a Jew. And I want to tell you, part of being a Jew is to be welcoming to the stranger. And I want to tell you, Ilhan Omar is a refugee from Somalia. She comes from a different culture. She has things to learn. I am not either trivializing.
Which is it? Is it? She didn't mean it, or she comes from a culture, it's okay, she doesn't know what but she does mean it. I thought she wasn't saying anything anti-Semitic, but now it's like, well, she comes from a different culture, she has a lot to learn. Okay, what is it that she has to learn? This idea, this woman who's 40, if you got a lot to learn about our culture, I would guess that maybe includes the Constitution, maybe you shouldn't be sitting in office. I'm just spitting it out there. She's a refugee, and now she's getting death threats. Well, maybe she'd be used to getting death threats. She's a fucking refugee. Is there more of this? Okay. Oh, God, I love this woman.
Anti-Semitism, or the things that she said, or saying that it's okay that she said them. But what I am saying is that I think this is a learning moment for her and a learning moment for the caucus on how to get along. And frankly, it is not. We are concentrating on our people's agenda.
They're concentrating this people's agenda. So what they're going to do is have this camp. And they're going to concentrate all the people together, certain types of people. We could have Ilhan guess who those people are. And when they're concentrated, they could work really hard on their agenda. And that work will make them free. And then, you know, we both have a lot to learn. Oh, God. Let's finish this off.
Are passing in rapid fire order about the things that Americans really do care about. Ethics in government and getting money out of...
Oh my God, this is beautiful. Yeah. But what about ethics in government and getting money out of... What the fuck? That is the worst shell game I have ever seen in my life. And I've seen blind people do shell games. I don't know what that even means. That's not even funny. As a Jew and a lover of dark humor, a lover of these idiots who don't know how to articulate their views very well, I cannot wait to see how this plays out. And I'll be covering it, of course, next week. Oh, God, this is just so fucking funny. This is just so, the scrambling is so bad. You know what it is? Because they clearly sat her down and they said, all right, you got to stop this shit and you got to put out a statement, put it to bed. And she goes, okay, Israel told me that I have to issue a statement. Wait, what? Fuck. All right, we're out of time. Folks, I will see you on Monday. I will be on Morning with Bill and Joanne, and lots of fun stuff is going to happen here at Compound over the weekend. And I will leave you until then with sweet dreams.